Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and through the internet deliver it to you. Today's message is entitled Expansion Project, and it is part four of a five-part series called The Plan. Today's message is based off of Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. Let us dive into the Word today. Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation. What did he discover about being made right with God? If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. But that was not God's way. For the scriptures tell us Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. When people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. But people are counted as righteous not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. David also spoke of this when he described the happiness of those who are declared righteous without working for it. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. Now, is this blessing only for the Jews, or is it also for uncircumcised Gentiles? Well, we have been saying that Abraham was counted as righteous by God because of his faith. But how did this happen? Was he counted as righteous only after he was circumcised, or was it before he was circumcised? Clearly, God accepted Abraham before he was circumcised. Circumcision was a sign that Abraham already had faith and that God had already accepted him and declared him to be righteous, even before he was circumcised. So Abraham is the spiritual father of those who have faith but have not been circumcised. They are counted as righteous because of their faith. And Abraham is also the spiritual father of those who have been circumcised, but only if they have the same kind of faith Abraham had before he was circumcised. Amen. We love our tribe, don't we? We love who we are, and we do everything we can to maintain the integrity of our identity. Let's look at Christianity. We Methodists, and I'll speak for myself because I'm a Methodist, we Methodists love being Methodist. We love the Methodist way of doing things. And we do whatever we can to preserve our particular brand of Methodism. Because honestly, each Methodist congregation does things a little differently from the next. God forbid a non-Methodist comes into our church with their non-Methodist way of doing things and tries to suggest how we might do this or that. Now, this tribalism is seen happening between not just Protestant denominations, but all denominations within Christianity. And it is seen between religions even. But wait, there's more. It doesn't stop there. Because we love our tribe when it comes to our race, our ethnicity, our nationality, and much, much more. We are, as human beings, entrenched in tribalism. And in our time, we are so entrenched that one cannot even read the Bible out loud without someone reading their politics, their worldview, their biases into it. Just ask me. I can't tell you how many times I've been approached because somebody heard me say something that was straight out of the Bible and they thought that I was speaking against their candidate or against their political views. Sorry, folks, I can't help what the Bible says. I merely can only report it. I can't help that the Bible doesn't line up with your 21st century political views. It's the Bible. It's what we as Christians base our faith on. Because in that Bible, we learn about Jesus, our Lord. And it is through that Bible that we see the experiences of the faith community from the beginning of time through the end of time. It is through that Bible, which is our authority as Christians, it is through that Bible that we begin to see how we have witnessed the risen, resurrected Christ in our lives. And it is through that Bible that we learn all that Christ taught, and that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. It is through that Bible that we come to know what it means to be truly human. So I can't help if the Bible doesn't line up with your first century political view or 21st century political views. But I must report what the Bible says. So we are so entrenched in tribalism that we can't even get through the Bible without it rearing its ugly head. Honestly, this is nothing new. It has always been the human way to keep the other at distance. It has always been the human way to keep the other as far away from us as we can. To see our tribe as better, as more important, as deserving of being first than other tribes. In our scripture today, Paul is addressing a sort of tribalism that was happening in the early church. The Jews had thought that they were exclusively God's people, and that the only way to be God's people was to get into their group, their tribe. Now, how did one do that? Simple. By getting circumcised and converting to Judaism, which meant keeping the laws of Moses. Jewish followers of Christ held on to that tribality when they insisted that the only way one could follow Christ was to get circumcised and convert to Judaism, since Jesus was a Jew. Paul, our brother Paul, the apostle, was not having any of that. Seriously. If you think I am challenging, listen to Paul in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1a and verse 3, as he addressed these folks who were pushing circumcision on the Gentiles. He wrote, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? How foolish can you be? After starting your new lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort?" In his letter to the Romans, Paul brings us back to God's overarching plan. Abraham was not Jewish. He preceded the law of Moses and was deemed righteous by God long before he or any of his people were circumcised. In fact, circumcision was a sign of his loyalty to God and of his being chosen by God. Circumcision was the sealing of the covenant made long after God had already chosen Abraham and deemed him righteous. And why was Abraham seen as righteous by God? Because of his faith in God. which also means his loyalty, pistis, in Greek. His faith, his fidelity, his loyalty to God. Abraham wasn't saved because he was a particularly good person. We know that he wasn't that good at all. He was saved because he did anything. He wasn't saved because he did anything worthy of righteousness. This is the guy who pawned his wife off to Pharaoh, pretending to be her brother, so that he could save his own life in case Pharaoh wanted to take his wife from him because she was hot. To use today's language. Abraham was saved. He was made righteous because he had faith. And all who have faith in God's Son, the way that Abraham had faith in God, are spiritual as opposed to physical descendants of Abraham, are made righteous and saved because of their faith. Paul, in essence, is telling the Jewish Christians that even as they were trying to contain God's plan, God had already begun an expansion project, which was a part of the plan to begin with. God was blessing all tribes, through Abraham, and uniting them under Christ as one tribe, the human tribe, made in God's image. Let me again reiterate Paul in Galatians. And now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian, for you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Galatians chapter 3, verses 25 through 29. My friends, God's plan is to welcome and include all who wish to be a part of God's kingdom. That is God's plan. An expansion project, not an isolation campaign. If we are going to get with God's plan, we need to ditch our love of worldly tribalism, and we need to expand our tribe to include the world. No more America first, or Canada first, or France first, or Indonesia first, or you name your nation. No more us first and them second. No more we're better, we're more worthy. No more this is how we're going to do it. No more you can't join us because you don't meet up to us, because you don't do X, Y, and Z. No more division, no more walls, no more dividing lines. We need to ditch our love of worldly tribalism, and we need to expand our tribe to include the world, for all are loved and valued equally by God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you and we praise you for challenging us. Holy Lord, you are God. And your plan doesn't just save us, but brings the opportunity of salvation to the world. This is your plan. Strengthen me so that I may stand firmly where you are instead of in the way of what you are trying to do. Help me become a part of the plan, not a stumbling block to it. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. I'd like to thank you for tuning in and listening to this message. Again, it's part four of a five-part series called The Plan. The message is entitled Expansion Project. I'd like to invite you to go to lifegivingwatermessage.org, lifegivingwatermessage.org. You can subscribe to the podcast there, or you can subscribe on iTunes or on Google Play Music or on Spotify or on all of them. I would also like to invite you to check out my bi-weekly devotion, Life-Giving Water Devo, D-E-V as in victory, O.org, and subscribe to the devotions, which can come in your email, or if you're a WordPress member, you can subscribe to it through WordPress. All the same, they are free and they are challenging and uplifting at the same time, so I hope you'll make use of those. Also, check out Sal Sermarco and my podcast, The Party On John Cast, which you can go to at partyonjohn.org, partyonjohn.org, and get a unique perspective, Wesleyan and Calvinist perspective on different things going on in the world and different theologies and doctrines and all the fun stuff that we talk about there. Plus, you get to hear what we're drinking in terms of coffee. You get to hear hear. Hear our reviews and our opinions of heavy metal and all of that fun stuff. So it is a really fun podcast. We've got a new one coming out. Actually, just came out this past week, this past Friday, the 21st of September. So we hope that you'll check that out. And that is also, again, at partyonjohn.org, or you can subscribe to it on iTunes and on Google Play Music. So with that said, my friends, God bless you. And be a blessing to others. Until next time, go in peace.